With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports-ad-free. That's amazon.com/sports-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a nice day to start again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Miller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Donson's here.
Xbox.
Oh, let's go. Welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's lovely. It's just lovely having you with us.
What a lovely time to be alive.
Well, my lovelies. Did you see, of course you did, because we talked about it on one of the previous Football Rambles, that inflatables were banned at Barnet when Grimsby Town came to town. They brought along a mariachi band, as of course we talked about before. What would you bring along instead of inflatables if you were given the choice, if you were in the Grimsby end for that game? Jim?
Well, you know, obviously I like the logical leap they've made. Makes a lot of sense.
They also moved on to, I noticed all the Grimsby fans who I saw on Twitter had hashtag Operation Mariachi, I think, or something like that, and had the Mexican flag in their emoji in their tweets.
It's brilliant work, it really is.
I mean, I don't know why it's happening, but it's happening.
Such is the glory of it. And for that same reason, I would just sort of spread the rule among the fan base. Everyone brings a clown. It can just be your mate.
He or she
has to be dressed as a clown garb.
That's sinister.
So every other person's a clown. Ideally, complete silence for like the first 10
That'd
minutes.
That'd be terrifying.
You're bound to have some players on the opposition team who are frightened of clowns. Yeah. And if they're not, that's terrifying anyway.
That would work well for a little stunt for the new It movie. Stephen King's It, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Well, and the big moniker of that was the big red balloon, wasn't it? So
yes,
you wouldn't be allowed that. You wouldn't be allowed that in the stadium.
Unless you have a red ball.
It's an inflatable. It's an inflatable.
I mean, technically, the ball is an inflatable, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit bloody rich, isn't it? When the whole game is based around an inflatable item.
Yeah, it's ironic, that.
It is rich, isn't it? Luke?
I went for a slightly different flavour.
Oh, yeah.
I went down the route of piñatas.
Yeah, so the Mexican thing.
Yeah, what I would do, I'd probably get up in the upper tier and get everyone to in the upper tier to get piñatas, hang them over the lower tier, so the lower tier fans could hit pinatas and this stuff could come down.
Yeah.
And I think the great thing about that is it's adaptable and usable in lots of different stadiums around the country.
The pinata is the thing that the kids hit.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's a Mexican traditional thing where you it's like made of papier mache, basically, and you stuff it full of sweets and stuff like that, and kids can hit them on
holidays. And they're in different shapes. Usually it's like a colourful blue donkey.
Yeah.
But I've seen, there's an adorable clip of a little boy going to hit a big Spider-Man pinata, but he doesn't. He just puts the stick down and gives the Spider-Man a big
hug. Oh, see?
Which is lovely.
But there'll be none of that in mine. You have to hit them. And some games, like you'd get, like Haribos would come down.
Yeah.
If you went to somewhere where they're good at doing pies, like up in Lancashire or whatever, you get a pie out of it.
Well, like hot gravy.
Hot pie.
That's hot gravy. That's grenades, Luke.
At Arsenal, they could have those little singular Marks and Spencer's glasses of wine that you peel the lid off. So yeah, pinatas. Why not? Yeah. At Grimsby, they probably have a bit of fish for their dinner.
Yeah.
They probably
imagine
have
a pinata full of fish.
Yeah.
A Harry Haddock.
It's raining down on you.
Yeah. I think, you know what? There's worse things to have come out of a pinata than a nice bit of fish for your dinner.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, keep with the Mexican tradition, you're going to have a big fence in front of
big
the
wall. Yeah. Build a wall.
Yeah. Peter, we just had Luke. Sorry, Peter.
Yeah, sorry. I'd take in the actual things that the inflatables are meant to represent. You know, like the popular inflatable items you get, like a palm tree.
Yeah.
I'd take a palm tree
big
in.
Big banana.
Or a big actual banana. a dead flamingo.
Or a big shark.
Yeah.
Yeah. A red Stratocaster.
Now you're talking.
A big meaty pink willy.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Oy, just bring your own,
yeah,
mate.
He always travels with one of them. Don't worry about that.
Or like make one out of like loads and loads of compacted chicken breasts. Into one of those bits. You know, like you see them on Hendus.
That's disgusting. That is disgusting.
That might be the worst thing that's ever been said on this show.
Also,
that is saying something.
Also, chicken breasts are expensive. Use thighs.
Sorry for the live show, innit?
Yeah.
Why does the whole theatre stink?
Come to the live show, Peter. We're dishing out raw chicken thighs.
Shaked into a penis.
Yeah. Get a slice.
There we go.
Fashion your thighs into a penis. I just bring your dogs.
Okay.
Bring your dogs.
Well, got some chicken for them.
Jim's mentioned that loads of times before. That's Jim's thing.
It's not Jim's thing. Jim's never owned a dog.
I think an MLS team might have done that this season. Because I know it's quite... In baseball, that actually happens, like bring your dog to the park day. So
yeah,
I think it might have happened in MLS as well.
That's asking for an invasion, isn't it?
Endorsed.
They'll all be chasing the baseball. That's great.
Right, it's great.
Not if they're kept in their... Pens.
Well, the important thing is not to confuse the two, because if you do, people are going to start hitting dogs thinking they're my pinatas. Yeah, we don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
I've hit this pinata to death and nothing's come out.
Loads of chicken penises are coming out of it. What's going on?
I think Pete's got the points. I like
Yeah.
Do they do inflatable axes?
Probably. Maybe an inflatable Sean Wright Phillips.
Yeah. If that Spurs steward was there, you'd get in, wouldn't you? Yeah. It'd be fine. Oh, talking of Tottenham Hotspur, Jimothy, there's no doubt which team is the best side in North London at the moment, eh?
There hasn't been a doubt for a while. No. I mean, I know we do a pretty good line in fairly old news on this show, but that is quite old.
Spurs will finish higher than Arsenal for the first time in the league since the Romans. Mm.
You have
that's not the Abramovich's.
No, quite. Although it would be as well.
True.
But you just got to hold your hands up to them, because you know it's not like they've done it with a big sort of like sugar daddy coming in and they've signed young players, they've bought well, they've developed their own academy players. You just, you know, Arsenal had their own way for a long time.
You should present Arsenal fan TV.
Yeah. You're the most blessed
Arsenal fan. To be fair, Harry Kane's actually come through the ranks. You've got to give him credit, haven't you?
But that has to be said first, because you know as I say, we've had our own way a long time, and the shambles the club is in is sort of being sort of mirrored by the success Spurs are having. And you know, the two teams, they are very close rivals, have been for a long time, and I've often said that you know both. Well, usually up to now, both motivate the other, but Arsenal just fallen away so much this season, and it's terrible. The situation at the club is terrible. So if they can look at Spurs, be angry about it, rebuild, and use that as motivation to be better, because what we've seen so far is just not good enough, then great.
Yeah. I was really disappointed, just as a neutral watching the game. I enjoyed the game, and I thought, as you touched on, Marcus, Spurs were by far the better side. All the stuff we usually say about them—they've won so many league games in a row now, and you know what you expect when you watch a Spurs team, and we got exactly that.
Blow them away.
I was just so disappointed with Arsenal's attitude, really.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I, you know,
didn't feel like a North London derby. No, it didn't. It's very placid.
Especially off the back of that really important win in the semi-final of the FA Cup as well.
Absolutely, yeah, that was the blueprint for it, wasn't it? They played a back three as well. And like, I think the penalty's a great example of how clumsy Arsenal have been this season. That's the ninth penalty we've given away. I think only Hull have given away more. And that's put yourself at such a major disadvantage when you make sloppy mistakes like that.
And for a team who have so much of the ball as well, that's... I mean, the penalty thing, I mean, I didn't know we were going to come into that quite so soon, but I'm happy to do so, because I was surprised when people said there was a bit of a question mark around that. I mean,
yeah, Alan Smith in particular was driving that narrative, wasn't he?
I mean, one, Harry Kane knew exactly what he was doing. Two, Gabriel was very, very clumsy. Three, it's a penalty all day long.
Yeah.
There's no debate about that. If the forward knows what he's doing, that's good forward play. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a definite penalty.
It's very different from the Leroy Sané one as well, which has been.
Well, that was an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, he bought that completely.
That was a disgrace.
But that's an amazing. If you're going to cheat a penalty, that's how you do it.
I was so sad to see that. I don't bracket that in the same way as Kane at all. But you know, Arsenal are utterly incapable of consistently raising their game against a better side. I mean, they've done it twice this season. They've done it once in that semi final. They did it once against Chelsea in about September time.
But Chelsea hadn't hit form then.
Quite.
Yeah.
Ever since then, they have just been so disappointing and just rolling over sort of predictably every time they play someone good. And the thing about the game against Spurs. They didn't even really sort of kick anyone around. They didn't even sort of lose their temper or get petulant. Right?
Well, that was kind of
Aaron Ramsey did.
What was so good about their about their last performance, Arsenal, wasn't it? But they looked a bit angrier. They looked a bit nastier. And you sort of said you were quite pleased with that. But this time they
lose it so quickly. I remember it was a good few seasons ago now. But there's another time we beat Chelsea at the Emirates. I think it might have been 3-0 then as well. We pressed them really hard, got into them, and this pattern has happened before. Arsenal having these big performances and then us going, "That's it. That's how you do it. That's the blueprint," and it falls away again.
And
so many players they just don't turn up enough. Like Mesut Ozil played like a lost child in a supermarket at the
weekend.
Yeah,
he needs
more from really bigger players.
If you look at him last season, people were getting on his back unfairly last season when they were getting on his back. I mean, 19 assists last season. He had a good season. Mm. This season, six assists, something like that. He's looked dreadful in big games.
And Arsenal had so many let-offs in the first half. Ericsson hit the
bar.
Ali missed like a point-blank header.
Ali bottled that header.
I thought that might be Spurs, like their sort of slight inferiority complex they've had in the past coming to the fore, but no.
I was going to say, the one thing I'd be so pleased about, and the most pleasing thing for me if I was a Spurs fan would be that Spurs approached that game exactly the same way they approach every game.
Yeah.
Didn't get drawn into it.
Yep.
Didn't worry about the psychological potential effects of it because it's a derby. No, this is what we do. This is what we're going to do. Get out of our way because we're steamrolling you anyway, and Arsenal had no answer to it.
The one thing I really didn't like from Spurs was bringing on Sissoko, because that's just taking the piss. I'm starting to think that's why they signed him. They looked at the fixture list.
2-0, even Sissoko played.
Imagine if they lined up 4-5-1, Sissoko leading the right. Starting with Sissoko.
And then
second half, Sissoko in goal.
And then in the post match, all he wants to talk about is Sissoko. Yeah. He's been brilliant today.
I love it if Arsenal lined up and then Spurs players came out slightly later, Arsenal were on the pitch, everyone walks out, Sissoko walks out, captain's armband.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Pochettino, he's probably thinking it's a North London derby. I don't know what the viewership is like around the rest of the continent. Maybe people in other countries are interested.
Shot window.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe they're not. I don't know. But he thought to himself, actually, let's bring him on.
Yeah.
I'll tell him, look, mate, you know as well as I do that we're both, I want you here. You can get a move to some silly club like Real Madrid who sign the odd funny player every now and then. Run up and down that wingers.
You can be the next Gravesen.
Do you want to be the next Julian Faubert?
Yeah. Well,
Adebayor got a move there, didn't he? That could work.
I know. Yeah. But I think the frustrating thing for Arsenal fans, Jim, as you say, is Arsenal can dig in every now and then.
Yeah.
They
Why
can
don't
press
you do
well
it every single time.
Every now and then.
Do it against teams that you know you would normally expect to beat, and you'll beat them by twice as many. Where's the urgency?
And the other side of it, which not a lot was mentioned of, Spurs had only beaten Arsenal once in their last nine games.
Yeah, so there are a lot of draws in there that Spurs should have won.
Hasn't been as good against Arsenal, so it's good that they beat them fairly handily this time.
It's like watching a ghost of Wenger's, you know, best teams of his style.
A team at the top level is a reflection of the manager. It's as simple as that. And Wenger is a shadow of his former self. So it makes sense that his team is a shadow of his former self.
Yeah, and Pochettino, like I said, when Chelsea beat them 4-2, he looked gutted because it was a case of, you know, you sort of so near, and yet they ended the game as if Chelsea had beat them quite handsomely, which of course didn't tell the story, excuse me, of that particular fixture. This time round, he must have been purring, thinking that's the one, because he wants to make that team into a side that can go to the latter stages of the Champions League. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. It's not a case of we're better than Arsenal. Yeah. The way they played the game, the way they approached it was, well, yeah, we're better than Arsenal. Well, of course we are. Mm.
I said that. How they approached the game.
And they should have won by more.
Well, were it not for Petr Cech, who made a lot of great saves.
He made two really good saves that I can think of, and he probably made a couple more. Eriksen hit the bar, as Pete was saying. Ali, I think, he's fairly early in the game, but he could have put his head through that. Easy for me to say, sat on the sofa eating crisps. But he took his goal really well. And the way he took his goal was indicative of the difference between the two sides, because he was reacted so quickly. He wanted it so much more. And that's a bit of a cliche, who wants it more? But he was straight in there. I can't remember, was it Oxlade-Chamberlain?
It's a story all day. Yeah.
Oxlade-Chamberlain could have swung a leg at that, couldn't he? Probably.
Well, he did swing the correct leg at it.
It
ceases to amaze me that. Fair enough, he's predominantly right-footed. Swing your left.
Yeah.
Worst it'll go, it was over the bar, you can see the corner.
Yeah.
Madly. Pete, you're a man who's on the post at corners.
Yeah. I am.
Pete's more of an Ander Herrera.
I always proudly stand there.
I'll cover that area. No.
I never back when I used to play on Sundays, I never used to trust a man who goes straight for the post. What, you don't want to mark a man? Yeah. Oh, I'll take the post.
He's going zone instead of marking.
You're not being helpful taking the post.
But the title's surely over, though, is it not?
I've been on record saying that you've got to be within 6 points that you are.
Did Chelsea do enough to dissuade you from
that? Well, they're running out of games. I mean, the games that both teams have got, I mean, Chelsea have got Borough, Watford and Sunderland left, haven't they? And West Brom away, I think. And Spurs have got West Ham United, Harland,
Man United.
Leicester. And they've got United at home, yeah. The games mean that it probably is going to be, it is very, very tough. And I did say, if Chelsea get through the Bournemouth and Everton games, they'll do it, and they have done.
But that's Borough showing signs of life, though.
Yeah. Come on to them
in a sec.
It's also worth mentioning that we will come on to again as well, that United's backline is so threadbare at the moment that, Spurs might,
Well, this was the game. All the United and your Borough talk. Yeah. This was the game, and Chelsea away to Everton. We thought, could Everton maybe get a point or something? And Chelsea just
knew.
Pedro just shat on the deadlock, didn't he?
Yeah,
what a way to break it.
He blew the deadlock. He blew the deadlock out of space. But the first half of the game was nip and tuck. I mean, Calvert-Lewin had an early sort of half chance, which you'd like him to do better with. The game was pedestrian until then. I was thinking to myself, this could be 0-0. This could be a 0-0 game.
I was thinking it would be.
But then what happens is Pedro obviously smashes that ball in. They've got such quality, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean with Chelsea.
It's a tight game and they won it 3-0.
And that sets them on.
Exactly.
That sets them on their way.
But the way they ran out winners, I mean, Willian's goal, knocking it around like that and passes it into empty net. I mean, it was utterly glorious.
Gary Cahill with his eighth goal of the season.
Gary Cahill.
What a player he's been for Chelsea.
Gary Cahill is an amazing poacher, scoring like those sort of bundled ball in the back of the net kind of stuff from set pieces. It's hilarious.
It's funny because John Terry used to do a bit of that.
Yeah,
as well.
Of course.
Cahill.
No, but Terry scored better goal. Terry would be a towering header.
Occasional volley.
Yeah, Cahill scored one or two decent headers, yeah. But Cahill's goals, I mean, it is sort of Gary Lineker stuff at times.
He is a bit like Terry in that he's so fearless in terms of where he puts his head. Let's not go too far into that. But the goal that he scored the other week, where Diego Costa went up to do an overhead kick, and Cahill just had his head right in the same space as Costa's foot. Don't even think about it, and they're ahead.
I mean, Terry, I know this is not the chat that you have, and Terry was a better defender than Cahill and his dad. I think Terry was a bit more fearless. But yeah, I mean, there's slight similarities there.
The thing that sort of frustrated me about Everton is when I say it was nip and tuck in the first half and it could have ended 0-0, a lot of that was to do with the fact the service being provided to Lukaku was really, really poor. For some reason,
getting angry, wasn't it?
It was almost like Chelsea got under Everton's skin, because Everton's home record this year has been fantastic, especially more recently. And it was almost like they were overthinking what they were doing, and then attacking midfield players, taking an extra touch, not putting Lukaku when they could have done. Lukaku was getting really frustrated. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he wanted to do well against his former club, a team in which he essentially failed at and was moved on.
Yeah.
And I think if he had got the service, it could have been a different story. But it's because Chelsea are so good, they just get under your skin, essentially.
What do we think of Antonio Conte, the way he celebrates and jumps on?
Well, I think this time
Courtois
round,
back.
Yeah, this time round, I think he thought that's it. The league's done. Now.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like.
But do you not think is it a bit over familiar? from
I
the
like
manager.
It. No, I like it.
Peter, if you were managing a team, would you jump on their backs?
Yeah, they're my team. I do what I want. I'll pay your bills.
Would you pick yourself, Pete?
Say again?
Would you pick yourself?
I'll give myself five at the end, yeah. Definitely.
You wouldn't. Well, that's what you get now, isn't it? Hey! You wouldn't like winning, though, would you?
Say again?
You wouldn't like to win.
No, I wouldn't like to win, no. I want to be good. I want to drop like a duck.
What would you do, Pete, if, I don't know, say there was 3 or 4 months of the title left and you were 12 points clear?
I would very much like it, yeah. Marcus.
As we learnt last week, Keegan knew exactly what he was doing there.
He's no fool, Keegan. Yeah. He's nobody's fool.
No.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. First the worst, second the best. Not in the Premier League. Oh, dearie me. We're going to talk more about the Premier League after this.
Well, Marcus, I think it was a nothing result. I'm Craig Brown. Welcome to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's time for emails with PED.
It is time for emails with PED.
Oh, speaking of that, I saw on Facebook the other day someone, it was your birthday, wasn't it, on Sunday?
Yes.
So happy.
Happy birthday for that.
Thanks.
But I saw someone on your Facebook page refer to you seriously as PD.
Was it someone, did they? Was
it
really?
Could it have been someone you went to school with?
I presume it was, yeah. I mean,
there you go. The nickname lives.
I told you.
It lives on.
A successful rebrand from the Donaldson brand.
Like G8.
Was that Paul Gascoigne?
That was Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah.
Because
it
sounded like great.
Yeah. It doesn't, does it?
It sounds like gate.
Yeah.
It is gate.
Shut the gate behind you.
We got an email from Phil from London talking about footballers... footballers tipping, meeting footballers as well. Basically, I worked at the O2 Arena in London. The job was basically a glorified barman, but it was in the private boxes of the arena in the O2. The tennis was on at the O2 all week, and in my box I had none other than Diego Maradona.
Oh, wow.
I remember speaking to him, asking him what he wanted to drink, and he wanted a coffee with sweetener. I went off to make the coffee, and it turned out we didn't have any sweetener to go in it. I explained to his fur-wearing lady friend, who was 30 years his junior, and she said, just give him sugar and tell him it's sweetener.
Was this in Spanish, do we know?
I don't know.
Why is it? I don't think he speaks English, does he?
Yeah, but
is that what you're suspicious about, Mark?
I see your brain working. I proceeded to give him three... You know, order a coffee. Jesus, truly.
It is Diego we're talking about.
I proceeded to give him 3 or 4 coffees throughout the afternoon, all with sugar in them, hoping I wasn't going to give him a hypo of some sort.
Yeah.
There you go. He survived and tipped £20.
Okay.
All right.
So he goes on the leaderboard, but he's not at the top, is he?
No, 20's decent.
Yeah.
I was at London Victoria Station in central London. Big Sol Campbell strode past.
Did he?
Enormous sunglasses.
Did he tip you or not?
He gave me a tip.
Yeah,
he did a slide tackle, and you know those slidey floors? He just went straight out of the station.
Into a taxi.
Yeah. I bet that made a change from being stid tackling indoors by Pete Donaldson.
Yeah. Still bruised
so the top on the list is Gascoigne with £50.
Yeah.
Although, did you see some people tweeted us this week saying that, I think his name, I'm not an expert on this, I think his name's Greg Popovich. He's an NBA coach.
Oh, yeah.
And someone screenshotted a picture of his bill, and it was an $800 bill, and he tipped $5,000.
Jeez.
So the final bill was $5,000.
Not a footballer.
No, it doesn't count. No, I'm just putting there for people to step up their game.
Phil also goes up to say that Edwin Charles and Karen Brady were both lovely.
Oh, okay.
So that's what he's got.
I believe one of those.
Mark says, hi gang, with reference to your run-ins with footballers, I once spent a Christmas Eve in Singapore playing beer pong in a kitchen with Man United and England legend Paul Parker.
Wow.
Playing ping pong with Parker. Wow. Oh, no, beer pong. Competitive as ever, Parker bully proceedings, making constant reference to my diminutive stature and encouraging me to down it. The game reached its surreal conclusion when, in reference to Fantasy Football's Phoenix from the Flames episode, where Paul reenacted his favourite ass ricochet in the World Cup semi-final, he proceeded to bend over and invite us to be beer pong's answer to Andreas Bremer and fire shots off his backside.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He was a thoroughly lovely chap, and I understand he had a very merry Christmas.
Oh, good.
Christmas Eve in Singapore with Paul Parker.
Excellent story.
Paul Parker, people always forget that he set up Gary Lineker's equaliser.
There we go.
He did, yeah.
Can you also name the animal that Bobby Robson compared his tackling skills to? He said he tackles like...
a bear.
He says he tackles like a ferret.
I thought it was maybe like a mole or something.
Jack says, on the subject of tipping, my dad gave a lift to Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank back in his Leeds days. The fare came to £29 and Jimmy waited for his £1 change.
Oh, come on, Jimmy.
My dad has since made it one of his life's missions to let as many people know about Jimmy's miserliness as possible.
You let please down help all him, gyms when you do that.
Please help him spread the gospel.
Where's he going in Leeds for
£29? I know. Just doing like right around the ring road a few times.
Must have been about 4 in the morning.
Yeah. Must have been New Year's Day.
James says, after listening to other listener stories about meeting footballers, I was at a popular high street pub chain in a South Coast seaside town. It has a Butlins.
South Coast, Bogdan Regis, must have been.
Do you reckon? What's the one where they used to have ATP? Minehead.
That's Minehead, but that's not on the South Coast. It's the North Coast of Somerset.
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking of something. There was a different one, the last year of ATP.
Oh, Pontins?
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
That's at Camber Sands.
Camber Sands.
Could have been there, yeah. That's very close to Bogdan Regis, really.
Well, either way, he was working a Saturday lunchtime at an adult weekend, which I think is one of those like kind of indie weekends.
No, but it depends how you pronounce it. If it's an adult weekend, that's fine. If it's an adult weekend.
Damn right, Marcus. Damn right. I was suddenly alerted to a man running around the pub with his member out, obviously accosting the gentleman. I encouraged him to dress himself again before asking him and his group to move on, to be met by the protestations of none other than Leatherhead's own Jimmy Bullard, who at the time had recently completed a big money move to Hull. The most memorable part of the whole exchange was Jimmy shouting, "He's done nothing wrong, that's not a cock." and the group moved on. So there you go.
But the thing is, they're in a sort of seaside park, and there's only one pub in it. Where are they moving on to? Where are they going next? Crazy golf.
It's not a cock.
Couple of tinnies on the beach.
Nice mention for Leatherhead, though.
Yeah, we all like a bit of Leatherhead.
Sounds like the man did get his Leatherhead out.
Hey,
Marcus played for Leatherhead, Pete.
He did.
Reserves.
Doug from San Francisco has got in touch. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. A gentleman from LA wrote a week ago that in an effort to keep all teams giving their all to the end of season, end of the season, you know, we came up with some sort of weird rule.
Someone emailed in and you inexplicably read it out. It involved someone suggesting...
The word is poorly read out.
Yeah, that as well. Someone suggesting that the 10th place team in the Premier League should be relegated have a playoff with the 18th place. Yes. So you see who gets relegated.
Yeah.
Nonsense then. It's nonsense now.
Well, perhaps the teams that finish 10 to 17 in the table should have a random draw to play a final elimination match against the 18th place team. As with any idea from Southern California, this is both totally awesome and yet a bit shallow. Yet, it does suggest something fascinating. Instead of a random lottery, which undermines the difference between, like, say, 12 and 17th, imagine if teams 11 to 17 each entered into a lottery where the number of entries into the lottery is determined by the position in the table. For instance, if you're 11th in the table, you get one entry. If you're 13th, three entries. 15th, five entries. 17th, seven entries.
That's a bit better.
It's also
madness. I'd rather correct him.
I'd rather have a video ref.
I hate seeing that. If you want to get involved, show at thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, we need some more tips. Paul Gascoigne, top of the tippers, £50.
Who's second?
Sven at £30.
Yeah. Which is more believable.
Yeah, although Donaldson's probably dished out a few tips in his time. He's a generous chap.
I'm an idiot.
Aren't you, Donny?
I think Pete is right on that one.
Yeah. Oh, you're an idiot as well. They're not mutually exclusive.
Oh, Sunderland are down.
Yes, they are.
I was surprised. When they said, Sunderland are down, I was thinking, yeah. Oh, right, mathematically.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, right, okay.
Did you see Match of the Day on Saturday? The strangest Match of the Day I think I've ever seen. It started with a 0-0 draw. I had three goals in it.
Yeah.
And they still didn't start with Sunderland getting relegated. Surely that's the story.
And also, not only that...
Yeah, there was a goal in that game.
Yeah, there was a goal in that game. So why start with a 0-0? That is an absolute par to Sunderland. You've been relegated. Yeah, you lost 1-0 at home. You've been relegated. You're not even...
What has happened there? The only story of the day and you're still not.
Just so you know, all the good teams are playing tomorrow. Still not on Match of the Day.
What happened is the bloke scheduling it just saw the results and said, "Oh, Sunderland lost at home to Bournemouth. That must have been a drab affair." Blah blah blah, whatever. And it was like a third or whatever it was on the running order. And someone said, "No, you realise that Sunderland, we're on air in an hour. We can't move.
Let's not change it around." Yeah,
The tapes have already been put in.
I've got something written down here. I don't know if you guys are going to agree with me or not. This has been coming for a while
since August, David.
Yeah.
Sunderland have been in the top flight for 10 seasons.
That's a big statistic.
Would it have been Roy Keane that brought them up?
Yeah,
that long ago.
Yeah, it was. They finished as high as 10th under Steve Bruce. But they've had 9 managers in 6 years.
You have to say that.
And they've refused steadfastly. They've stuck to this. They've refused to play in August and September.
Yeah.
So they're only starting in October every season.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising they're starting off on the wrong foot.
Well, and what you've said there, I think Moyes alluded to massively straight away when he was doing his post-match. He said, "Well, we all take collective responsibility from top to bottom." And I thought, I mean, you probably are right, David, but that is a bit of a kind of a, well, you know, I'm not just to blame it.
No, but yeah. I think you missed the first part of what he said.
Yeah.
Because the first thing he said when he came into the press, the post-match interview.
It's not all my fault.
He just went, "Told you." Told you in August. Yeah. What happened?
He sat down and journalists started handing him money.
Yeah.
First time he's been relegated as a manager.
Yeah.
Ever. Well, yeah, because he was emotionally relegating himself quite early on in the season.
He finished very low down the table one season with Everton.
Did Man United not get relegated under him?
Yeah, they did, yeah. Sorry, yeah, he took United down twice, that's right. Yeah,
Louis van Gaal won the playoffs.
That's right, yeah.
That was actually their 18th game of the season without a goal, so it's not enough, is it?
I mean, Jim, they are a dreadful team.
They really are. But like, when you look back at that insane game where they beat Palace 4-0, that was the last time Jermaine Defoe scored. So if he's not scoring, they've got nothing.
He hasn't. Their only tactic all season was to give the ball to Jermaine Defoe. Mm. When Jermaine Defoe, who will undoubtedly get a move in the summer anyway, even just for a year, he'll definitely get a move. Yeah. He, as Jim just touched on, he hasn't been scoring at all, and they've had no answer, nothing to go on.
But he got that England cap, and people, you know, will take consolation.
That just seems a bit weird now, doesn't it?
Do you not think after the all happened? Do you know, going looking around the squad and the Sunderland players are going, oh man, you know, like, well, what's going to happen? Are you going to stay? And Defoe's sitting there going, well, look on the bright side, you know, I've got an England cap season, everybody, so it wasn't all bad.
There's no bright side.
Yeah, him and Pickford will get moves, I expect.
Yeah, I would have
thought
so.
Maybe one or two others, those young midfielders, Didi Bodji or something like that might get a move.
It's just a big shame.
You're happy about it, Pete, presumably. Because Newcastle normally lose to Sunderland every year. Yeah.
Well, who knows what a Rafa derby will be like.
True, true.
Indeed, yeah. Well, not good enough. Not good enough, Sunderland.
Actually, did we play them in, I think it was a draw, wasn't it, 1-0, back in last season?
Mitrovic scored.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah, he saved the day, in a way, for a moment. staying in the North East, Middlesbrough, a bit unlucky.
Yeah.
And they really...
A bit unlucky all season. Don't you just hate it when you're unlucky for 9 months?
They really needed to win to stand any chance of survival.
That penalty was a sickener, wasn't it?
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah, I mean, you touched on it earlier.
Kevin Friend is dreadful. He is dreadful. Maintain he's dreadful, and you know, without getting into the weeds of a whole sort of referee debate, I mean, because the decision that Andre Mariner made as well was absolutely shocking on the young United forward, Marcus Rashford.
Yeah.
That was a terrible... I mean, I looked at the Mariner thing, and I thought, Andre Mariner, I mean, he's 46 years old, that was a quick breakaway, he's trying to keep up with an 18 or 19 year old sprinting forward. It's just unrealistic. They just need more referees.
Video refs.
They need more referees, and they need to really, really make it competitive to be at the top level, because Andre Mariner got that decision wrong because he couldn't keep up. That Kevin Friend thing, he's been dreadful for season upon season.
Would you rather a referee refereed the game via satellite link up than Kevin Friend?
It'd be quicker. Yeah. It'd be quicker than Andre Mariner.
Yeah, but they just assign it to a viewer at home.
Yeah, a random viewer. Yeah, and the only thing that rules you out. No, actually, no. You don't even if you're a fan of the club, you still get picked. It's just lucky. Definite pen.
Should that be a thing? Like refereeing duty should be like jury duty. You get it through.
Yeah.
What are you refereeing? Oh my god. Oh no. Yeah. It's like the Millwall versus West Ham in the FA Cup. Oh no.
Not everyone's going to have the fitness, so you get a little golf cart.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you talking
Segway?
I honestly think
football cart.
Segway's golf Segway.
All-terrain Segway.
I honestly think having a referee in each half would be better than what we've got at the moment. I just think it's... Do you remember a number of years ago Ferguson went postal on Alan Wiley, and he said, and he implied, I think I'm right in saying here, he implied that Alan Wiley was booking players just to get a breather.
He said
Alan Wiley is overweight, he can't keep up, it's a disgrace at the level of football we're at, and he was booking players to catch his breath back. And I don't know this, but I think that's when they started to look at it and started to improve it, and all this sort of stuff, and the fitness and everything like that. But to me, that decision from Kevin Friend, so bad. He should have seen it. He should have been much clearer about it. It killed Middlesbrough, that penalty decision. I don't think it's why they've been relegated or why they're going to be relegated, but I'm just saying it's really frustrating to see. And you could see by the players' reaction how disappointed they were. I mean, imagine how hard you've worked all week and for that to happen.
Yeah.
Terrible.
But the way they celebrated after Chambers scored to make it 2-1 suggested strongly that they thought we got a chance to stay up.
It was amazing work from Negredo for that goal as well, it must be said. But they did look really sort of together and united, didn't they? But this, you know,
Negredo in the shot window is a different player. Negredo against Man City, he's all over the place.
He's just Soko-esque.
You remember that? I don't know if you've experienced this, but if you know, when you used to play football when you were younger, and if someone's like, I don't know, dad or older brother or somebody a bit older was really, really good, they'd say, oh yeah, take a penalty, try and score against me, and then run up, they do that thing thing where they kick the ball with one foot and then kick it with the other immediately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so you dive and they'd
that's what he
like,
did, yeah.
He's an absolute master at that.
That's what he did, yeah. Yeah. You know, if Negredo had applied himself in all those other games, I'm not saying they would stay up, but I don't know if that's the case.
They'd have had a better chance.
Yeah, what killed him is those games, and so they went through March and April, essentially, until they beat Sunderland, you know, that's a gimme. Yeah. they went through March and April without winning the game. And I was speaking to Graham Lassau last week for something else, and he was saying to me, when he was relegating his final game as a pro at Southampton, he said the biggest mistake they made was managers get into the mindset where they don't want to lose. Mm. And what they do is they sacrifice all the creativity and all the goal-scoring ability because they rely on their defence being good. And this is exactly what Middlesbrough have done. They know they've got a good defensive unit. And I talked to Karanka, who's in charge for most of the season, has thought, our strength here is our defence, right? And what he's failed to realise is that you put your defensive unit under such pressure because if they do concede, they can't score. No, they've got no one on the team who can score. They've got someone like Gaston Ramirez who's not consistent enough. They've got Negredo who essentially, to my mind, doesn't fancy it. Stuani's not consistent enough. So they just really struggle. And that's what's absolutely killed them all season. And that's why they'll go down.
I think it is fair to say Negredo, though, for a lot of games, he didn't have much service. I mean, I saw them at the Emirates against Arsenal. He didn't get a sniff. He just couldn't really do much. Yeah,
but
he was very, very isolated.
That's probably the way they've been set up. I mean, yes, Emirates, maybe.
I take the point, and I take your point as well, Mark, because at the Emirates, he's probably not going to get a sniff. If you're playing Hull at home or Burnley at home or whatever, they should be winning those games.
But
that's what's going to be.
As you say, though, they're still set up to play in the same way. And Negredo, he's not had a great amount of service all season. I think we'd see more from him in a better team. Clearly,
I was talking to Graham Lassau last week, and he said, "Are you stealing my post?"
Shut up.
No, actually,
he gave me a 50-quid tip.
Speaking on a team that have an incredible defence and just nothing up top, a guy called Yizrolik, I think, DM'd me about Gattuso's Pisa, the best defence in City B,
really?
In the league by far.
Right.
They've conceded only 29 goals, and the top four have conceded 7 more, and they're still bottom of the league. It's incredible.
Wow, that is
a story.
I've got
did you check that?
Yes.
All right, okay,
he screenshotted the league for me.
Right. Here's one I checked. This is staggy as well. Guess how many goals Monaco have scored in all competitions this season?
Is it over 100?
It is. Yes, just guess.
I think it's 103.
146.
Yeah, plus 43.
What? I know. It's ridiculous. Absolutely
ridiculous.
Free
score in Monaco.
Only half of them were against Spurs. half against Man City.
That Spurs loss doesn't seem that bad now, does it? They only lost 2-1.
They were crazy. Absolutely crazy goals.
Did you see what Buffon said about...
Is that more than Middlesbrough?
146 goals.
Did you see what Gigi Buffon said about Mbappe?
No.
He said, I was in a World Cup before he was even born.
Yeah. Buffon was in the World Cup before a lot of people were born.
Well, actually, he went on, he said, the other day I worked out that I managed to connect practically 3 generations. I used to play with those born in the 1950s and 60s, and then I'll get up to play with against those born after the year 2000. It's an enormous stretch of time, he says. Mm.
And he's bigging himself up there as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Still go in.
He just leaned back in his chair and went, have you ever considered this about my career?
Chelsea away next for the Borough.
Yeah, so tough one.
Still got a chance. Burnley got a timely first away win of the season at Palace.
We said they get one at some point.
Yeah. So happy for them. For those fans as well, those travelling fans, they really deserve that.
They very much do, Jim, and it all but secures their Premier League status, of course. So it's looking like, as it has done for a while, a straight shootout between Hull and Swansea, both got points. Hull against Sunderland next, and the Swans have Everton at home. So Hull, 2 points above Swansea. I mean, next weekend is a big chance for them. But Swansea got a handy point. Old Trafford could have won it with Llorente at the end.
That was heartbreaking, wasn't it?
What a chance!
That could have been survival. It's such a big miss.
But they'd have got a point above them, and that changes it all around. And Sully Hull are thinking, hang on a minute, there's no little cushion there. But what a goal from Sigurdsson.
Oh, it's perfect. That's absolutely perfect as a free kick. But the Herrera thing was strange, wasn't it? How he just ran onto the line then ran back.
Well,
did Gea tell him to get it?
Llorente, the trouble is, when you put someone on the line, you invite all the opposition forwards to go right up on the goal.
De Gea waved him back up.
De Gea went, don't worry, I'm going to Real Madrid in the summer, I don't care.
Yeah. Sigurdsson said that when he saw Herrera go back there, he was going to change what he was going to do. He's going to drill it as hard as he could at the keeper because all the Swansea forwards were going to pile in on there. And then De Gea waved him back up and he just curled it in. That's what he does. He's a great free kick taker.
Gilfy with a gorgeous one.
There was a lot of interesting things happening in that game. There was a lot of interesting things happening in that game. The thing that fascinated me was... the Wayne Rooney reaction to Luke Shaw's injury. Did you see this?
No.
So Luke Shaw, so Mourinho said after the game, as I'm sure you all saw, it must have been a pretty serious injury. He wanted to come off after 10 minutes. Mm. Basically intimating that Luke Shaw's got some sort of like problem with his like mental toughness or whatever. And I think we've known that Mourinho maybe thinks that for a while. But when if you watch it back, Luke Shaw went down, sat down on his, basically just sat down, pointing at his leg.
Yeah.
And Rooney came over in his capacity as captain, said something to him. Luke Shaw said something back to him almost like he was an older brother. And Wayne Rooney just sort of looked at him like disgusted, just shook his head and just walked off.
Well, yeah, it's interesting,
isn't
it?
Very, very interesting.
And Mourinho recently said something about, was it Smalling?
And Phil Jones as
and
well.
And Jones, about this kind of, well, they should have been tough enough to play against Man City or should have recovered from the injury or something like that. It's strange, this. For a manager to say things like that in the press, it's quite odd.
Yeah, it's unheard of, really, isn't it? But Chris Smalling has only just come out of a protective boot, apparently. So for him in particular, that seems like you'd want to, you know, manage your own rehabilitation with some caution. But
is he not really leaving himself open for some really quite serious questions to be asked about Mourinho, about workplace bullying and stuff like that? Like, well, you know, we all talk about, you know, mental health, Peter, and how it's very important in 2017.
Have you ever been bullied in the workplace?
Frequently.
Let's get it all out now, everybody.
And your hands are clean, speller.
Pete, well, not currently.
Is the only reason you never became a pro footballer because you were bullied at your club?
And also my legs.
Are you like David Santon?
He might be coming back. Amazing.
Because I thought with the Shaw thing, he had a really serious injury, as we all know, and what can happen is the muscles take a while to build back up again. You get strains, you get pulls, all that sort of stuff. But I just found that particularly fascinating. The other interesting thing about the game clearly was the was Paul Clement's comments afterwards, which where he was obviously fuming.
Oh, man, yeah.
He said, he was, I don't know if you all saw it, but he said that Marcus Rashford deceived the referee. And then when he was pushed up on it by a journalist and said, you want to stick with that? Do you think this, that and the other? And he said, look, I've said deceived. I'm sticking with deceived. He deceived the referee. So I don't know if I'll get in trouble for that, but that must have been so frustrating for Swansea, clearly, because to go... Yeah. I mean, Man United, it's easy to forget this. Man United haven't lost in the league since October 23rd. Yeah. It's the longest run of a team... basically any team who's gone on a run that long has won the Premier League. There's no precedent for a team going on beating that long.
It is quite easy to get a point at Old Trafford, though.
Well, that's the weird thing about it. It's like a weird juxtaposition,
What you said it earlier, sort of without really actually making reference to it, you said about Spurs playing Man United, you said, but they're at White Hart Lane, as if that is a harder proposition to play them at home. It sort of does.
We remember that Hrafn Ingerson won his Icelandic bet of the week.
I forgot about that.
He picked Sigurdsson to score at any time in Old Trafford, and that's the third game in a row he scored against Old Trafford, isn't it?
It is easy to get a point at Old Trafford.
Sure is.
Swansea played with a bit of purpose and they'll take heart from that.
They've got Everton at home next, haven't they?
Yeah, right, indeed. So it's going to be a tricky one.
We touched on those Man United injuries earlier as well. I think Timothy Fosu-Mensah is injured, so they're short of people. Put a back line together.
They are short of people.
But isn't that going to sort of damage their Champions League bid on both fronts, really?
Of course it could
be a disaster for them. This point.
Could be a back two. We've seen a lot of back threes, Jim. It's about time someone up the ante. We're going to talk about the championship after this.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
While you're sitting at work punching them numbers into them boxes, why not head on over to thefootballramble.com and have a gander? You'll find more highlights than a night at Crystals.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Do not forget the preview show, sponsored by Bet365, out this Friday. And of course, our man from Iceland, still in the chair.
He is in the chair. We need to hear from him again. People sometimes forget and have to nudge him, but you're still in the hot seat, Haraf, and you need to get back in touch.
It was a lovely bet, that, wasn't it? Sigurdsson to score at any time.
We've got so many tweets from the win.
It was a very gif-able kind of moment as well.
Yeah.
It was
a very gilf-able moment. Indeed. More of that kind of banter at the Hackney Empire live show, of course. Yeah.
No, well,
ladies
I'm not
and gentlemen, on the 28th.
How much banter will there be out of 10?
It will be just banter.
banter. Yeah, tickets still available. Saturday, 27th of May. Do come along. It's going to be a multimedia extravaganza.
Yeah, it will
be. Some of the plans we've got, and some of, dare I say, chaps, I know this is off, I'm going off piece.
No,
here.
No, don't give it away.
Some of the special guests we've got are mind-blowing.
Yeah, and yeah. I've ordered a lot of chicken breasts.
They may or may not be members of Pete Donaldson's family.
That's true, yeah. And if you think Pete sometimes treats my gags with disdain, he gets physical with me on the live show. Oh, dear. To the Championship. A wonderful win for Birmingham and Redknapp.
Yeah,
and to be
huge.
Honest, it's a great win. I mean, they went down to 10 men very early on against Huddersfield. Okay, Huddersfield made a lot of changes. They don't seem to think that where you finish in the top six can actually have a... It makes a difference who you play in the semi-final.
Birmingham also missed a penalty after 8 minutes.
Right, yeah. So to pick themselves up from, you know, obviously... Haven't won a game, I think, you know, they've only won 2 games in their last 8 seasons, according to Redknapp. Man sent off, penalty miss, you could get a bit down in the dumps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Redknapp motivated them.
He did. And
if that's not worth quarter of a minute, I don't know what is.
The absolute dictionary definition of a terrible manager, step forward Tony Mowbray. Well, I'm not happy with the amount of changes I was for, mate. Don't worry about that, mate.
Yeah.
Worry about yourself. Yeah. There's a load of players you should be worried about. They're in your squad.
Tony, if you go down after 46 games,
yeah.
It's nothing to do with the changes.
You could have changed things at any point.
It's nothing to do with what a team who have qualified for the playoffs, on merit, by the way, is a point system.
To be fair, he did take over from the Lancashire Sinatra early this season.
True.
He hasn't been there the whole season.
True.
I do take the point.
Appreciate what you're saying.
It's between Blackburn and Forest now, isn't it?
It pretty much is. I mean, well, Birmingham have got 2-point cushion.
Forest have got better goal, one goal better goal difference than Blackburn, I think.
Right,
I mean,
okay.
Forest, I mean, realistically, Mark, it's going to be Forest or Blackburn going down to the third tier.
That is
big. I mean, I don't know as much about Blackburn. Clearly, they're a big side and a big club. Forest are a massive club.
Yeah.
For them to go into the third tier again would be just disgraceful.
I mean, Forest haven't been in the top tier for a while.
They've been mismanaged off the field, as a lot of clubs have, depressing. But it'd be very, very sad when one of those teams go.
But amazing Burton Albion survived.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
They've stayed up. The last few years for that club have been quite something, really.
Yeah, they have, absolutely.
But of course, at the top of the league, Brighton lost, Newcastle won. The title's still on, Donaldson. Do you want it or you're not bothered?
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're playing Barnsley, aren't they? Barnsley are terrible.
Yeah, well,
mid-table rubbish.
They're not terrible.
They can't win at the moment. They're mid-table purgatory.
Draws are fine.
Yeah.
Brighton have got Villa, though, to be fair, and they're not great.
And that leads me on neatly because... Are we going to see a little Brucey bonus?
Oh, yeah.
Because Steve Bruce, Geordie boy Steve Bruce, ex-Sunderland manager. Is he going to remember his roots?
Friend of BR.
Or is he going to remember his CV? Because Steve Bruce stands in the way of Newcastle United winning the league.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? Narrative. Imagine again, that. Narrative, man.
Weird.
Christian Atsu's free kick was all right, wasn't it, Peter?
I thought it was beautiful. There's been a few times where we've actually seen training ground stuff come off on the field, and that's nice to see that they're actually doing
Chelsea
stuff.
Nearly had one, didn't it? Was it Chelsea?
Yeah, the corner.
Yeah.
That was nice, wasn't it? Pete, would it, genuinely, does it matter to you to win the league or not?
I think it would be nice to win the league because Newcastle did lead it for a long stretch. Yeah, okay. So I think it is important.
But you've already won that league before, so you haven't finished second for a while. So.
Put the replica next to the other one.
I'm bloody looking forward to Newcastle being back in the Premier League.
I think we are more than Pete. Because we know.
Of course, yeah.
We're looking to seeing them be silly on a bigger stage.
We'll get off his misery. Because it'll be great. It will fuel us.
And
it
also,
will sustain us.
When Benitez has a fallout with Ashley and he finally walks, there's going to be all sorts of talk.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah, we might speculate who may take over. Yeah. You know?
The shortlist will be like Lee Clark. Yeah. Keggy, of course.
No, those two people will be too popular. Think stupider.
No, I think Pardew's looking for a job.
Actually, that contract's not up. Maybe he could just walk straight back into it.
Pardew come back.
Or is it, I know he's at Villa, but is it time Steve Bruce gets a job? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I think it's
you
all
want to stick with Rafa, don't you?
Well, of course I want to stick with Rafa, for crying out loud.
He's actually good.
Right. No. I mean,
if Rod Hull's emu is in the seat and he just gotten us up, I would sort of say, well, you know, better the devil you know, innit, really? Yeah.
And then, better the devil you don't know.
Yeah.
I think, is he happy with Rafa? Is there a manager anywhere near as good as Benitez that would get that job?
Well, we talked about Rod Hull's emu. Let's hear more from Pete.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's the thing, though. Ashley's in a tricky, well, not a tricky situation. He's in a funny situation now because Rafa Benitez is clearly the best manager Newcastle could get.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, head and shoulders, the best manager Newcastle could get. And that's why Rafa, I thought, was quite clever. He said, well, if we get backed. But Ashley says, I'll only sell the club, we win a trophy, or finish in the top four. Now, whether he still believes that or not, I mean, as I say, as a businessman, he's got to have a plan B or a C at least, right? So what does he do then? Because if Ashley does say, well, I'm not going to back him, how long are you going to keep this club? Do you really want to sell it? What are you getting the kickoff being incredibly unpopular in a huge city like Newcastle? What's going on, Pete? It's like they're a shambles.
Two words for your Sports Direct. Don't worry about those big old advertising hoardings, Sports Direct.
Well, if you're a new listener to the show, you can expect a lot more of that next season. Yeah.
And at the live show.
But yeah. I just like the fact that both Rafa and Mike Ashley are both conducting their business in the press, effectively. Yeah. Mike Ashley's busy saying, oh, the cupboards are bare, there's no money left. And Rafa's gone, well, if I don't get any money, I'm out of there. Mm. So it's all very
good. Rafa's got cupboards, mate.
Yeah. And Rafa's only going to win the popularity contest, isn't he?
He's got all the cards. Rafa's been. Yeah. I'll put in those cards. They're full of sausage rolls. Yeah, it's some money at the back. I'm sure.
What I would say is that Rafa does like to spend a bit of money. Right, this was 75 players. I
Peter,
think.
Rafa Benitez has managed Real Madrid, won the Champions League, and he's won the Liga. Okay,
he bought six left backs at Liverpool.
Pete, how
won the Champions League?
You're criticising his transfer policy already. Might not even be around.
I'm just saying that he's not the manager that Mike Ashley needs.
To be fair,
he's not the manager Mike Ashley needs.
Yeah, because with his temperament, he never spends any blood. Money, but so
to be fair, you're criticising Rafa Benitez's transfer policy. I mean, Newcastle United's transfer policy has been airtight over the years.
It's been some of the finest comedy the UK's ever produced.
Yeah,
well, Pete, just to put it in perspective, just calm it all down. Would you accept a club like Newcastle, the size of Newcastle, maybe doing perhaps what Rafa Benitez did at Valencia, winning the league and the Europa League as well as their new UEFA Cup in the same season? Would that be a successful season for you?
It'll
then
be up there, wouldn't
it? Fucking mouth.
They haven't done it yet, Luke.
Yeah, oi, do you know what, right? If Newcastle won a trophy, right? Tough, I know, but come on, right? The scenes of Newcastle, it'd be a double celebration because you won a trophy and he's going to sell.
People wouldn't work for weeks.
Like, Ashley wouldn't do that. Do you know, if they won the Europa League, Ashley would go, Champions League. Yeah. We win the Champions League.
People wouldn't work for weeks. I'm tempted to say something there, but I'm not going to.
It's actually one of the better cities in the north. So
well done.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Leeds United have buggered it up.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable. It's the most predictable thing in the world. But just come on, Leeds.
Yeah, I mean,
we all want you to do it now.
Seventh.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's unbelievable.
Not even sixth.
I imagine Massimo Cellino will be confident of the 13 goal swing needed for the sixth place finish this season. But I get the feeling, even though he's sold a 50% stake to someone else, I get the feeling Gary Monk might be looking for a job this summer.
It's a shame because Monk's done okay. And I know that it has gone downhill, but. Like even if they'd have finished sixth, I think some of the Leeds fans, even going into the playoffs, had they finished sixth, would have thought, ah, do you know what, we could have done a bit better there.
Yeah.
Seventh.
Well, yeah. They still came from 3-0 down as well against Norwich. That's the heartbreaking thing. Chris Wood has had what a season he's had for them. He's got 28 goals. He's still 25 years old. They desperately need to hang on to him if they're going to maintain a push next year.
He's from New Zealand as well.
He is.
Don't find many of them around.
But Fulham and Sheffield Wednesday with the old momentums.
Yeah, well, Leeds United aren't, you can't make an argument Leeds United are one of the three best teams in the Championship anyway.
Yeah, but Huddersfield, I mean, they've sort of started to drop a bit as well.
We mentioned a little bit ago before we went down the silly lane with Newcastle. was he resting players presumably for the playoffs?
They're in the playoffs.
I know, but the playoffs aren't for like a couple of weeks, like 2.5 weeks or something.
Yeah, well, get on the beach.
Yeah,
well, you can.
Crazy.
It's a long old season.
Strange thing to do. I can see why Mowbray's a bit annoyed about that.
The Championship is such a slog, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So to be fair, all joking aside, Newcastle have done bloody well to go straight back up.
All those divisions are a slog. All over the country.
But the Championship, though, going down from the Premier League, it is a bigger gulf and whatnot, and it's such a slog. So, you know, well done to those Magpies, eh?
And they've bought well.
They have bought very well. League One, Bolton have returned to the Championship for the first time of asking. Talking about sides going straight back up, which is good to see.
Phil Parkinson, that's his third or fourth promotion, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
He's gone up more times than Bez, mate.
The thing that struck me about League One is Sheffield United hit 100 points. Amazing achievement by Chris Wilder and the Blades. Wilder looks like an excellent manager. He was fantastic at Northampton Town.
Yeah.
They absolutely blitzed League Two when he was manager there. They got a fair few points then too. So clearly a manager to keep an eye on. And Sheffield United, another big club who perhaps should be doing a lot better.
But do you not think, though, it's something that Professor Chris Brady said in that, and by the way, an excellent interview, Luke, you did with him, blowing smoke up your bot for a minute, but it was a fantastic interview on this month's Acast special. But he said something about Paul Tisdale.
And
he said that manage often at that level in the Championship, or certainly in League One in England, they like to have their say over everything. Yeah. Essentially, you just run the whole
clothing.
Yeah, you're well, absolutely.
Tisdale definitely likes to have a sound clothing.
Right, and they like to run the whole show. And, the further up you go, it's becoming slightly less and less. Purely because you just overstretch, but
at the very top level, it's impossible to do that.
Yeah, you have to delegate and all the rest of it. And so sometimes when you talk about these managers, say like Chris Wilder, who's very good and so on, sometimes they prefer to stay at a slightly lower level. Because they have the whole say in the football.
You wouldn't tell the boss that, though, would you?
You certainly
would. To be honest, I don't think we need to get promoted. like the Sutton United manager. We're happy where we are. We're an amateur club, that's fine.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. League Two, Leighton Orient, they lost 3-1 at home to Colchester United. Obviously, Leighton Orient were relegated the weekend before last. Strange scenes. The match was abandoned, and then it wasn't.
Yeah. In all seriousness, that was about as depressing as I've ever seen an incident in football.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, essentially, for those who didn't see it, the game was I don't know if they did this on purpose. The PA, the announcer, and the management at Leighton Orient, the fans invaded the pitch and stopped the game 5 minutes from the end. They'd already been relegated. They'd already lost the game. Essentially, it was 3-1 to Colchester at the time. They told the fans that the game had been abandoned, so they would leave the pitch and go home.
They clearly knew this was going to happen, because home game.
They played the last 5 minutes with no fans, and Colchester United, I don't know why they did this.
Just knocked the ball around.
They just gave it to Leighton Orient and let them pass it around. So essentially, it was almost like an impression of a football match, a professional football match.
It was so weird. It was so eerie, wasn't it?
It was utterly depressing. Yeah.
Colchester trying to score would have been worse, though, wouldn't it?
It was depressing for a number of reasons, one of which that Colchester were put in that position.
And so
were Leighton Orient, the players who are now don't know what's going to happen to their futures, plus all the people who work at the club, the staff and all that stuff. They're all suffering. No one ever talks about them. That club has been run into the ground by some very unsavoury characters. And once again, I mean, it's not the first time it's happened. I'm fed up of talking about it on this show. We've been doing this show for 10 years now.
Yep.
It's been the same ever since. The amount of clubs who have gone through this, not quite to the level of Leighton Orient, but have been run into the ground. The FA are completely powerless, completely toothless, don't anything about it.
112 years in the league. They've had five managers in the last season at that club. And the annoying thing is, you know for a fact the league will not do a thing about it now they've dropped out of the league.
Yeah,
they were waiting for them
problem.
To get relegated, because that's not
a
problem. Not
a
problem. Yeah. And the EFL have supported the suspension of ticket sales to Leighton Orient fans for the last league game, which I think is at Blackpool, which is just...
Blame the fans.
So it's just kind of like...
Blame the fans. It's utter bollocks.
But it's just another case of like asset stripping in football, where there's barely any bloody assets to
strip,
you know.
Francesco Bechetti.
Yeah.
He's been there 3 years, seen them relegated twice, took over the club when they narrowly missed out on promotion to the Championship.
Yeah.
And now, as you say, 112 years. I mean, when that club joined the Football League, Gigi Buffon was just starting. It was incredible. But all joking aside, you feel so sorry for a club like that with a bit of respectable history.
Indeed, absolutely. Heart goes out to them. I mean, I was at Charlton the last game of last season. Yeah. Exactly the same thing's happening there. Yeah. The game wasn't abandoned, but it was chaos. Absolute chaos. They kept having to stop the game because people invading the pitch, things being chucked on the pitch. It is a regular occurrence now for teams in the Football League.
But I love that the fans are blamed, though.
I know,
the fans are blamed for getting angry at an utterly diabolical situation.
When there's nothing else I can do to register their displeasure.
That's ridiculous. But let's cheer ourselves up with some highlights of the weekend, with Luke.
Good idea. Do you know Monaco's got 140 goals?
Now, there's a club. Do they struggle for money?
No, they don't. I'll start with this one from Daniel Barrett. This is very, very enjoyable. It's a bit of a long one, but stick with me. It says, my highlight was delivered by two Forest supporters groups this week, the London Trickies, Tricky Trees, as Forest call themselves, and Forza Garibaldi, I don't know about that one, who decided to make the last away game of the season Colin Barrett Day for no reason at all other than the fact that they knew he was going to the game. This meant my dad, who's not a very famous 70s ex-Forest player, Colin Barrett, was trending on Twitter, having no idea what Twitter or trending is, and saw fans with banners with his name on at the game and led an orchestra of Forest fans singing a song about him scoring against Liverpool in the European Cup from on top of a table in a pub garden. Incredible memories for him and a proud son, and apparently something that will be repeated every year on the last away game. Looking forward to a League One Colin Barrett Day next season. So Colin Barrett is he joined Brian Clough's Nottingham Forest in the mid-70s. In England's second tier, according to his Wikipedia page. I had to look him up. And he won a Football League title in 78 and in 79. And he played in the European Cup as well, scored against Liverpool, which is the song they refer to there. He made 94 senior appearances for them. I would like to know from Daniel, his son, has his dad heard just a minute of the Football Ramble? If so, he's probably the best player to ever heard the show.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting. Mm. A guy who definitely scored goals, won league titles and scored a goal in the European Cup, definitely would be the guy who's listened to the show at the highest level. Yeah. Anyway.
Unless someone else has out there.
Yeah, exactly. Get in
Frank
touch.
Lampard, I'm looking at you.
So thanks for that, Daniel. Chris Williams. As an Arsenal fan, the only highlight on the weekend of grim darkness was the Spurs fan who presumably got kicked out of the North London Derby at 0-0 when he decided to sprint down the stairs and scream at Mesut Ozil about the perfectly legal placement of the corner ball before getting mobbed by stewards. That, if only that wasn't the most memorable Ozil moment yesterday. I saw that, it was funny. It was funny. Sean Carlton, my highlight was Carlo Ancelotti winning the Bundesliga with Bayern, making him the first manager to win the title in the top five leagues in Europe. Mm. He never won the league with Real Madrid, but won the Copa del Rey and the Champions League nevertheless, so I guess that sort of counts. A true gentleman and a legend of the game. Definitely worth mentioning. Sean, thanks for that.
You've been reading his book, haven't you?
I have, actually, yeah. It's definitely well worth it.
Did he win the league in that book?
No, I don't understand the question. What have we got here? Got to be the amazing news that Pompey are having an open-top bus parade to celebrate finishing most likely third in League Two. That's from Gary Bailey. We might finish top yet, Gary. 2 points off, one game left.
Would you be happy with an open bus tour finishing third?
I won't go, whatever happens. Make it the best of me. Let people enjoy themselves, okay. That's what I would say. And I'll finish this one off with this one from Pranav, who says, the most eligible bachelor in football, Marcus Speller, getting hitched.
That was the highlight of his weekend.
It was, apparently.
And he wasn't there, unless he was.
No, he might have been. So congratulations again, Marcus. Yes. As they say, another good man gone.
Yeah.
Hearts breaking all over the world hearing that news today.
That was the highlight of my weekend.
I bet it was, yeah. I hope so.
It says here. Mm. No, it was. It was wonderful. Any highlights, gentlemen?
I've got a couple of, like, eerie law lights, because I'm me.
Yeah.
My wedding? The two.
Do you love me, Peter?
Did you love me
all along?
I was stood outside with cards saying, please leave her.
When they said a bit, does anyone know of any lawful impediment why these people can't be married? I had to wrestle people.
I appreciate that.
I didn't know what those two words meant. I was crying all the way through that bloody thing. Your minister was very young.
He's 32.
He looks so young.
Well done, he's 32.
He said, I'm on my third child. I went, did you mean Pokemon? So young.
Get to the point, Dawson.
The two Venezuelan teams that kicked off, they didn't move for a minute. They kicked off and then they just stayed still.
Why?
And didn't kick it because Venezuela's gone to the dog, effectively.
Because the protest.
So I don't know whether they were protesting the protest or just the general situation, but they didn't. They kicked off and both teams just stopped for a minute.
Were there fans in the
Yeah, the fans. And they just stopped for a minute. And then they started playing football. That is a real intensity as well. It was really strange.
That is eerie.
Again, eerie things. And Sully Montari got booked for reporting racist abuse at Cagliari, which is just amazing.
Did he walk off?
No, he told off.
It was a young kid.
It was a kid who was abusing him, and he went over to the kid, gave him his shirt, and basically told him, "You can't behave like this. You need to be a better person than this." And he was booked.
Well, it wasn't so much the booking that I was sort of annoyed at, because to be fair, the referee doesn't know what's gone on, and he has gone over and just given his shirt. And if the referee does nothing,
that was after he'd walked off. He was booked for complaining about the racism, saying the referee needed to do something about it.
The referee
booked him for dissent,
but it was his manager. Didn't his manager say he was disappointed in Montari?
Yeah,
that
happens a lot, though, doesn't it?
He also sort of supported him at the same time. He said, this needs to stop. It's ridiculous, but Sonny can't walk off the pitch. So, you know.
Okay, it's all a big shame. Yeah, absolutely.
Two low lights from you, Donald. So don't get happy yourself.
Low lights after we spoke about Marcus's wedding. Yeah. Like, what should be maybe the most joyous thing we've spoken about.
The pulled pork was nice.
The pulled pork at Marcus's wedding was lovely, yes.
It was very. Did you like the bishop's finger?
Was that the booze? I just drink lager.
Yeah.
Because I'm a child.
There we are. Yeah. Any more for any more? Are we good?
That's it.
Wonderful stuff.
I think that should get us up to the hour.
News.
The time is now 10 past 10.
You've got to give them the hour. You have to give. Listen, whatever they complain about, you give them the hour. Oh, we should probably say, do get tickets to the live show. You do come along, it'll be fun.
It's going
to
be good.
Saturday 27th of May, hit up our social media feeds for that, or go to the Hackney Empire website, and there are still some tickets available.
Yeah.
I'm going to get drunk. Join me.
Pete will almost certainly get drunk and almost certainly remove some of his clothes.
That's right. That is right. And of course, it will be. It will come on stage after the FA Cup final, so plenty of time to watch all that. That'll be our little job. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Wow. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Are you the scat man?
And it's goodbye from Scat.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym
for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.